is ask you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, if you have a Bible with you. And I'm going to read from verse 25 to verse 37 of Luke chapter 10. And the title of the sermon is taken from this passage of scripture. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." And then before you close your Bibles, turn if you would to James chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 14 to 26. James says, "What good is it if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Let's pray. God, thank you that your word gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. Thank you, God, that you give us your word to instruct us, to teach us. And Holy Spirit, we invite you now to counsel, to direct, and to lead us in all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I've got a bag of goodies, and Can you take one? No, take two, in fact, and pass them along. What I'd like you to do is halve your coins. Have you halved them? Okay, now have them again. I want you to have this coin, any coin. Good, that's not bad. Did you see what they did? I don't know if you remember this story from class assembly. Class assembly, what, 30 years ago? They used to tell us that it's not quite biblically true, it makes a point. One person died and went to heaven, and the other person died and went to hell. And the person who went to hell saw that there was a banquet prepared, but the only thing with which you could eat this, the food of this banquet, were 6-foot-long chopsticks. And so everyone was unable to eat. And then finding out from the person who went to heaven, expecting to be given knives and forks or clean fingers or whatever it may have been, was also given 6-foot-long chopsticks with which to eat this banquet. I can't manage chopsticks. They're 6 inches, let alone 6 feet. But the difference was, maybe you can guess, that in heaven people had learned to feed others. Now, that's not theologically correct in any way, shape or form. It's not a correct view of heaven and hell, and once you go to one, you can't cross over to the other to find out what it's like. But it makes the point that Jesus makes with the parable of the Good Samaritan, and it also makes the point, which is the same point that James makes in his letter. And what he says is that faith without actions is dead, and he uses another word as well. Did he say useless? I'm not sure. It's definitely dead. So we're going to start a new series. Neighbours, friends, family. So today we're going to look at neighbours. Never try with God to justify yourself, because the expert in the law who came to Jesus, we read this in Luke chapter 10, Jesus outsmarted him, and he did it by answering a question with a question. And it wasn't necessarily a cantankerous exchange. They were probably, well, we know Jesus was well-meaning, well-intentioned. And the expert in law, well, he stood up to test Jesus. So one, he came to test Jesus. And the second, he tried to justify himself. Whenever we come to Jesus, whenever we come to Scripture, don't try to test God and don't try to justify ourselves, because it's a recipe for, not necessarily disaster, but at the very best, being proven wrong. God is right, and it's God who's entitled to test us, not the other way around. So if you think about, if you're here as a student, or you think back to your student days, anybody who trains you or teaches you is entitled to test you. So you have an education as a physician associate or as a physiotherapist, those who are training you are entitled to test you because they want to know whether their training is effective. But it doesn't work the other way around. If we're a student, we're not entitled to test our master. And this man, given he was an expert in the law, but he found his comeuppance in Jesus. So just generally speaking, it's God who can test us. It's not us who can test God. But because he wanted to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" In the Greek, neighbor has a connotation or the meaning someone who's near to you. So look around. That's your neighbor for the course of this service. In Hebrew, it's not so much someone who's near, but someone with whom you're associated. So instead of looking around now, think, with whom in church are you associated? So you might think the person who plays in a band with you, or the person in whose small group you are. That's an association. So you might not necessarily be geographically near, but you're a neighbour in that respect. Now the reason for the two coins, just if you take your coins again, okay, on one side there's a denomination, which is one. Okay, and then on the other side there's the sovereign, the head of the monarch. Is that right for all of you? Okay, now if a coin doesn't have both, it's not a coin. It can't be a coin unless it has both. Because if you have the Queen's head, but no denomination, then you don't know how much it's worth. And if it has a denomination, whether it's one or 1 million, but it doesn't have the Queen's head on, then it's worth nothing. So either way, it's useless as a coin. One way, without the denomination, you don't know what it's worth. And someone won't give you whatever it might be, because they don't know whether the coin you're giving them is worth what they're giving you. But the other way, it's not that you don't know what it's worth, it's that it's worth nothing because it doesn't have the Queen's head on. So the question that Jesus was asked is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How do you read the law? Jesus asked the guy, the expert in the law. And in other accounts of this parable, you can read them in other passages of scripture. Jesus is asked for the greatest commandment. And then it's commandment singular, but then he goes on to say, this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. And again, in alternative accounts of the gospel, it will say the second is like it. So the first is love God, and then the second is love your neighbour. And if you remember, bear in mind what James said. He said, if you have faith and it's not accompanied by action, then it's dead. So if we have one and not the other, then it's no good. So does that mean we just do good and we're fulfilling the law? It doesn't. Some people are more neighbourly than others. I don't know if you've ever had a dispute with a neighbour. Sally and I had a few years ago, thankfully, and it's resolved now. We had a dispute with a neighbour. It's not pleasant. I mean, if you think, maybe it's even harder if you have a shared house and there's a domestic You have different rooms, but you have to share the bathroom and or the kitchen. If you have a dispute with a neighbour, it's not good. And we've got stories of some student disputes in the past, and they went to great lengths just to make life terrible for the people with whom they were living. But because they're living under the same roof, then making it terrible for one makes it terrible for the other as well. Some people are more neighbourly. Now, as you mentioned earlier, in Greek, neighbour means someone close. In Hebrew, neighbour means someone with whom you're associated. But think about both as we go through. And as you think about both, then think of the hardest neighbour to love. If you've got a few, think of the hardest neighbour to love. And then think of how you love yourself. So do you buy yourself clothes or buy yourself chocolate? And you know, a team of us went to Switzerland 2 weeks ago. And I bought you some chocolate. Take one to start with. I think inside they're the same. How many left in the bag? Okay, so those on this side have got two. I told them to take two. And those on this side have got one. But on this side, you can't eat your second. You have to give it away. And on this side, you can use your penny to buy something and give that away. Okay, we're going to do this series. So we're starting with neighbours, and then we're going to look at friends, and then we're going to look at family. Now, I don't know if this is true in every wedding, every marriage rather, and different cultures do things differently, but Sally and I were neighbours. We had an association when we were two, and we were at the same preschool. So we lived at opposite ends of the town, but we had the association. No, not opposite ends. We lived about a mile away. But the association was through the preschool, so we were neighbours at preschool. And we didn't become friends then. And we had another association. We were neighbours in fruit fields when we did fruit picking when we were teenagers in the summer. So we were neighbours again, and we didn't become friends then. It's closer to the opposite, if you want to know. But then when we had another association, studying A-levels, we moved from being neighbours to being friends. And then from being friends, we moved to being family. And I was thinking about that recently because one of our neighbours, don't forget, you should have in your mind someone who's hard to, a neighbour who's difficult to live. Okay? And then think about what you enjoy, or maybe if you know them, what they might enjoy. One of our neighbours became a friend to the extent that we would allow her to look after the children, and she's also a teacher at Johanna's school. So she moved from neighbour to being friend, and now because of situation with her landlord, she left, and so she's now family in as much as she's living with us. So think about God. Now, I remember Tian said this last week, and Fred has also said it. We need to be careful about calling God friend. But it is one aspect of the relationship with him. Now, what Fred is, Abraham had to go through four covenants before he could get to that point, being called a friend of God. But bearing that in mind, that we have to be careful about saying it, that is what God does with us. He moves us from being neighbours. Now, in what way is God our neighbour? God's our neighbour because Jesus lived on earth. Now, it's not a direct association now, but because Jesus was incarnated, because God lived on earth, Jesus classifies as our neighbour. Now, it's not that he's alongside us now, but the person of the Godhead who is alongside us now is Holy Spirit, because what Jesus had to do was to come, to die, to be raised to life, to ascend into heaven. Between the death and the raised to life was the descent into hell. So come, be born, live, die, descend into hell. Be raised to life, ascend into heaven, so that Holy Spirit could come. And Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. So although God isn't here in a physical body, in spirit God is here on earth. And it's that encounter with Holy Spirit. When it might be even if somebody comes to church for just a short while. That encounter with Holy Spirit that can take someone from being neighbour to being friend and then to being family. Now, if you think about your friends, and then think about your family. Now, I've seen a fridge magnet that says friends are the family you choose for yourself. I don't agree. Now, some of us might have very close friends. But if we think about friends and family, there's a distinction between the two. When it comes to a birthday, when it comes to maybe family celebrations at Christmas or some other time, when it comes to who you're going to invite to your graduation, or things like that. Those are the questions that help me to differentiate in my mind. Those who are friends and those who are family. And the point is, family comes first. If you only have one loaf of bread to feed, so only three parents in the room, Marina's left, but you're going to give it to your child before you're going to give it to the friends of your children. That's not selfish. It's just, that's life. That's your responsibility. They're your responsibility ahead. And as Fred has said, it's fine to feed other children. It's fine to spend time with other children. But you have to first spend time with yours. It's fine to visit other churches, but not if it's to the detriment of spending time with your own church. It's fine to visit someone else's family. You don't visit someone else's family at the expense of your own. So that's kind of what we're considering. Who is my neighbour this week? And then we're going to consider, what does it mean to be friends with people? How do we live with our friends? And then what does it mean to be family in the natural and in the spiritual? But neighbours, we don't choose them. When Lola came to live in the middle flat, we didn't choose her. And she didn't choose us. It's just that she was there. And we were underneath. Maybe the people who you're in a tutorial group with, you didn't choose them. Often it's done alphabetically. They didn't choose you. you didn't choose them. They didn't choose to have you. You didn't choose to have them. So Jesus tells the expert in the law that he answers correctly. Love your neighbour as yourself. But what does it... So the first question is, who is my neighbour? And hopefully you've got someone, anyone struggling to find somebody. It can be someone who lives close, someone who studies with you, somebody who works with you, someone who's close, or someone with whom you have an association. Now, sometimes we make a mistake of giving people what we want. So, let's say, for example, I don't like chocolate as much as I like savoury, but I go to Switzerland. It wouldn't make sense for me to have gone to Switzerland and bought you something savoury, because Switzerland's known for its chocolate. Even though I might have liked something savoury. So we love our neighbour as ourselves, but we recognise that our neighbour is not me. So different books talk about people's love languages. There's various. One would be acts of service, another would be words of affection. And even with your neighbour, you might be able to pick up, not necessarily what their love language is, but you might be able to pick up their interests. If we have to leave, I'll let you know shortly. But does this mean that, for example, we're just the same as any other charity? We're a charity, registered charity in the UK. It doesn't, because... I think I've put my coins down, and I'll stop after this and find out whether we need to go. In fact, Nadine, can you find out whether we need to leave? Back to the coin, it needs the monarch and the denomination. So our acts of service are like the denomination. Sometimes it costs us a lot, sometimes it doesn't cost us so much. But our faith in God is like the head of the monarch, the sovereign. In other words, it doesn't matter whether it's 1 or 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000. If our good works are not done because of our faith in God, then they don't add up to anything. So faith without deeds is useless, it's no good. But deeds without faith also is not going to last for eternity. That's why, in terms of the values of shofar, the first value is passion for Jesus. That's where we start. If we started with people to serve, then we'd just be like any self-help group or any charitable group. We could be do-gooders. We start with passion for Jesus because without that there's no worth. That's like the monarch's head. Because of our passion for Jesus, we then serve people. So when you're thinking about how to bless your neighbour, how to love your neighbour as yourself, meaning to the same extent, not necessarily in the same way. Different people have different interests, different love languages. Then if you're asked why, then give the reason why. Because of your passion for Jesus. Because there was, if that's a bit too spiritual, because of a sermon at church. Or because of the series that we're focusing on. Because God wants to move people from being neighbours to being friends, and then from being friends to being family. So we have a vision. The vision of Shofar is to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development and church planting. But the point about having values, because they determine how we go about fulfilling the what of the vision. In other words, in achieving that vision, it doesn't mean that we can, at any expense to people or to the world, make disciples, develop leaders and plant churches. It means in pursuing that vision, we have to hold together those four values. Okay. And hopefully you'll know them, but the values are passion for Jesus, people to serve, power of belief, and purpose to pursue. The way I remember them is they're all P's, and then they go through the vowels of the English alphabet without an I. So A-E, miss out the I, O-U. A for passion, P-A. E for people, P-E. O for power, P-O. And U for purpose, P-U. And the way I remember which one to drop is because we drop the I because there's no place for I. There's no place for me within the values of a church. So what that means is in anything that we do, we cannot compromise any one of those values. We might serve one value more than the other. So if we think about this morning, we had tea and coffee and cake and donuts and biscuits. No fruit today. That was serving each other. And then praise and worship wasn't serving each other. Cheryl wasn't here to entertain us. Catherine wasn't here to make us feel good or just to have something pleasant. That's about our passion for Jesus. So having praise and worship isn't just to warm up a preacher, isn't just to make you feel good so that I can come and talk and say something like that we'll maybe get through a bit better than if we came and started cold. Our passion for Jesus is the starting point of everything we do. So we were serving people, and then we focused on Jesus, and now you could say it's combining the two. Looking at God's word to us, but then saying, what does that mean for people? Who do we serve? How do we serve them? Now, the other question is, some people are very mercy-minded, by which if they see a need, they want to meet the need. Last night, someone held... Okay, thank you, Eve. I'm pretty much finished, but what we'll do when we come back is just maybe get into groups and pray. Share the name of your neighbour. Pray for your neighbour. And get some ideas from each other about how to do it. Take your chocolate.